Crack on. Welcome to this, the second of the party conference events that the Chartered Institute of Taxation is doing in conjunction with the Institute for Fiscal Studies. I'm Ray McCann, President of the Chartered Institute of Taxation, and it's a pleasure to welcome you all here to discuss fair business taxation and the digital world, which is up there. I think I can say without fear of contradiction, we've got an absolutely stellar panel today. Probably the best panel that will be in any of these sessions. And I'll say that next week as well. I'm trying my best. Let me quickly introduce the panel. I'll start with ladies first. Claire Hooper is a fellow and council member of the Chartered Institute of Taxation. And in her spare time, which I'm sure she doesn't have very much of, she's an international tax partner with the professional services firm EY, and she chairs the Institute's Corporate Tax Committee. Paul Johnson, I'm sure, probably needs no introduction. He's a director of the Institute for Fiscal Studies. He makes frequent appearances on television, radio, and in the printed media, and he has an unending habit of depressing me on a Monday, usually with a column in Times, telling me that I'll have to work much longer and my pension will be much less. But Paul is undoubtedly a commanding presence in economics, tax, pensions, public finance, and a whole range of other things. And I was looking for the connections with each of the individuals in this panel. And Paul is an honorary fellow of the Chartered Institute of Taxation, and that was an award this year, which was richly deserved. Robert Coates is the Member of Parliament for Witney and West Oxfordshire, which is a place which is dear to my heart, since my son is a serving RAF flight crew based at Bryce Norton. So I'm looking to Robert to look after him. He has a special interest in micro-businesses and the Royal Air Force. He was a barrister before he entered Parliament, and in his spare time, he volunteers for the Thames Valley Air Ambulance. Now, it said as a speaker, Robert, the thing I read, but do you ever get up there and help
less
out?
Less so as a speaker now than I used to for time reasons, but you'll see me on the Antrim Toll Bridge, those of you who are local, shaking a bucket every now and again on bank holidays.
The predecessor to Robert in that constituency was one David Cameron, MP, and I'm not absolutely certain what happened to David.
He's a constituent. I have to be very careful in responding to his correspondence.
Excellent. Our final panel member is the Right Honourable Mel Stride. Mel is Financial Secretary to the Treasury and the Paymaster General. He is MP for the Central Devon constituency and based in Ashburton.
Indeed.
Yep. And when you read Mel's bio, he is definitely someone that the criticism that he's never had a proper job in his life could ever possibly be applied. He's had a very rich life prior to joining Parliament, and I'm delighted that he's here. Mel and I have spoken on various things over the last several months, obviously all tax. We expect to finish around about 2 p.m. Our running order that we've chosen is we're going to start with Paul. He'll be followed by Claire, then Robert, and then Mel will be certainly last but not least. If each of the panel members could provide their opening remarks and keep those to around about 8 minutes, that would be appreciated, and that will keep us on time. And then we'll throw it up to the floor for questions and further discussion. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, and thank you all for coming along to what is a fairly fairly niche topic, given all of the things that we're competing against. So I'm going to try and give a little bit of an overview of what we might mean by fairness when we're thinking about taxing businesses, and particularly in the context of a digital economy. And I'm going to start really with the question about whether it makes any sense to talk about fairness when we're talking about business taxation. Clearly it makes sense to think about fairness when you're talking about taxing individuals, but does it make sense to think about fairness when you're taxing companies? I mean, one thing that it's worth starting by saying is that the large majority of taxes in some sense are paid by companies. Nearly 90% of all tax is remitted by companies to HMRC, because of course income tax is remitted by companies, national insurance contributions and VAT are all remitted by companies. So in that sense, the direct payers of tax are very, very largely companies. But we understand, of course, that income tax and national insurance and VAT are in the end paid by individuals. We don't normally think of companies as being the people who, or the institutions that pay them. And actually the same is true corporation tax. See, it's a very, very simple point, but one that people always seem to forget, which is that in the end, corporate taxes can only be paid by people. They're either paid by shareholders in terms of lower returns, or they're paid by workers in terms of lower pay, or they're paid by consumers in terms of higher prices. There's no one else who can pay these things. So in that sense, corporate taxes are rather like income taxes, national insurance and so on. The big difference is that actually we don't know how they are distributed, whether they are mostly paid by shareholders or whether they are mostly paid by workers. There's some evidence, because capital is more internationally mobile than people, there's some evidence that perhaps it's significantly incident on workers, but that is certainly unclear. So so thinking of fairness here, we really do need to think about who eventually pays the tax. It's also important to be clear that just because it's a big company doesn't mean that the shareholders are all big, rich shareholders. Most big companies are, the ownership is distributed across millions through their pension funds and so on. Equally, small companies can be owned by very rich people. So the difference between big and small doesn't make much sense in that, in thinking about fairness in taxing companies either. So that's just to kind of clear those, I think, very, very common misconceptions out of the way when we're talking about fairness. It's perhaps better to think about judging corporate tax with respect to inefficiencies, whether it gives certain kinds of companies competitive advantages over others. We know that at the moment, very small, if you're an individual and you incorporate and you earn your money as a small company as opposed to an employee, you pay an awful lot less tax than if you were an employee earning the same amount of money. So I think there's an issue around efficiency there, and there are different ways in which different companies are being taxed. And one question here is, you know, are digital companies being favoured by lower tax rates? And how does the corporate tax system, in all of its complexities, distort where, in particular, companies choose to locate what they're doing? So when we're talking about digital tax, particularly, we're often talking about big multinationals, where they're choosing to locate their profits, and therefore where they're being taxed. So let's think a little bit about what a corporate tax system is intended to do. It's intended to tax profits, and it's intended to tax profits where those profits are made. Now, that's a very straightforward idea. It's not that easy to implement always, but it's a very straightforward idea. And in a closed economy, if every company were just in one country, it would be relatively straightforward to identify the profits and tax them. Of course, it's a little more difficult than that. There's a map of the world. And if you've got, as I say, if you've just got one company in one country, it's fairly clear what corporate tax is all about. But what we're talking about on the whole is companies that have production subsidiaries or other parts of those companies in other parts of the world. So if you've got a company based in the UK and there's some manufacturing going on in China, broadly speaking, what the international tax rules attempt to do is to determine where the value is created in order to determine where the profit should be taxed. And rules basically set out in the 1920s by the League of Nations. The idea was to do that by treating the subsidiary as if it was another company. So the question that is asked in tax law is, again, in very simple terms, I'm sitting next to people who know far more about tax law than I do. In very, very simple terms, if you were to purchase the goods from an independent company, how much would that cost? And on that basis, is tax supposed to be determined? And that's how so-called transfer pricing rules apply. So, what would you pay your subsidiary if it were an independent company? That's not straightforward. Even in that very straightforward sort of situation that I've outlined there. But of course, the world is a good deal more complicated than that. Apart from anything else, you've probably got lots of subsidiaries. If you're a big multinational, providing lots of different inputs from lots of different countries. And where is the value created? As you know, take Apple, for example. You'll know that the iPhone was designed and invented, and a lot of the intellectual property that designed it was in Silicon Valley in the United States. So a lot of the value, in a sense, was created there. But the component, it's manufactured, you won't be surprised to find, in China. The components come from all over the world. They've got displays from Japan, sensors from South Korea, gyroscopes from a French-Italian company based in Switzerland, all going into manufacturing these iPhones. And on the basis of all of that, you know, lots of companies producing lots of components put together in China, based on ownership and intellectual property in the US. On that basic transfer pricing rule, incredibly difficult to know where you should be taxing that. And then, in addition, if you're thinking about it, it's hard enough to think about where the corporate tax receipts are. But what about the customers? The customers are all over the world. And whilst you might think it's fair to tax companies where they're producing stuff, because they're using the resources in the country where they're producing stuff, they're using the roads, they're using the rule of law, but equally they're using the infrastructure in countries where they are selling stuff. And if they're selling stuff digitally, they're probably selling stuff all over the world. And at the moment, the corporate tax system is based very much on taxing according to where the value is created in the production process. In the digital world, you've got customers all over the world. You've got digital companies making lots of money in countries where they may not actually be producing anything, or where the value may not be constructed. And that's one of the reasons why people get terribly upset about the fact that some of these big digital companies are not paying much tax in this country or in others. That's actually how the international system is designed to operate. You might want to design it to be based on where users are based. That's essentially what a value-added tax does. And in the digital world, you've also got the additional problem, and this is something that the Chancellor was referring to yesterday, where actually a lot of the value is created by those users. So the data that is provided to Facebook and other organisations is hugely valuable to it. That is created by the users and customers, and often created by people who aren't even users or customers, and that is not caught at all by the corporate tax system at the moment. And one of the things that the Treasury is consulting on is how you might get hold of some of that value creation and taxing it. So just to wind up, everyone agrees, I mean, not surprisingly, the current tax system is not brilliant, to put it mildly. And there's no single answer. There just isn't a single answer to the question, where is value created? And it's multiple times harder with digital, given the distributed nature of the value creation. Obviously, in a world like this, in a complex world like this, firms have incentives to shift profits and shift activities to where taxes are lower, and you can see that clearly happening, particularly when it comes to moving intellectual property rights around the world. So again, you have differences between countries which create different behaviour by companies. So the question, the exam question here is, what about, where does fairness come into this? And I suppose my answer is that it's actually remarkably slippery concept when it comes to thinking about corporate tax. It's remarkably slippery when it comes to thinking about taxing digital companies. You could argue that it's fair to tax on the basis of where companies are headquartered, where their subsidiaries are based, where the value is created, where consumers are. You could argue all of those are fair. In the end, there's not going to be a single answer to that. What you need to do is have the sort of international arrangements that the Treasury has been working very hard with the OECD to try and make work on the basis of the current system, which is, remember, based on where value is created. You need to do what you can to reduce those distortions. And what essentially we're doing at the moment is taking an international system put together 100 years ago and patching it up, essentially, because getting agreement on anything else internationally is knocking on for impossible. Now, doing all of that is not going to lead to a surge in tax revenues in this country. It's not going to fix all the competitive issues, but it should make things a little bit better. And indeed, you know, we're definitely seeing some improvements. The alternatives, which aren't going to happen, is to have a completely different system where you are actually taxing where the sales are made rather than where the value is created. Now, in principle, you could create a system like that based around the world, but there will be big winners and there will be big losers. So I don't expect that to be in the budget, and indeed I don't really expect that to happen in my lifetime. So there are the problems, and I'm expecting my colleagues to give you the solutions. Thank you.
Wow, how to follow that? Well, Paul talked about what fairness means. Oh, is that my speaker? No, it's yours. Good. So I just wanted to add a couple of thoughts of mine on what fairness means in the corporate perspective. Because to me, it's got to include clear rules with certainty of treatment. Everything that should be taxed is taxed, but it should only be taxed once. And, you know, ideally, you want the same treatment for taxpayers in the same situation. And there is a concern at the moment that global digital businesses are paying or have some advantages over traditional or domestic businesses. Now, some of the data presented on this is misleading at the least, but nevertheless, there is some concern there. So why is that? What is the cause of this problem? Well, I really do not believe it is about tax avoidance, particularly in a sort of post-BEPS, post-US tax reform environment. It's about whether the rules as currently drafted allocate taxing rights to the jurisdictions that the governments want them to, and whether the public understand that. Now, in the global digital environment, you can have more centralization. Companies don't need as much functions on the ground in every one of the territories that there are consumers. So that does mean there's some questions around the long-term base of a corporation tax. And so some governments might need to think about their mix of revenue and how much of that should come from corporation tax in the future. And indeed, many of the concerns expressed are around business rates. So for example, your high street retailer pays high business rates, but your online retailer doesn't. So the obvious answer to that might be, well, the problem there is business rates. Let's do something about business rates. But a huge amount is collected from business rates. So it would leave a big hole in the Treasury coffers by reducing it. And if it's just put on a rise on corporation tax, that will have big impact on the competitiveness of the UK and could actually lead to a reduction in overall total tax revenues. But there's clearly a public perception issues. You know, we constantly see headlines around turnover and corporation tax. But, you know, as we all know, and as Paul has mentioned, corporation tax is a tax on profits, not on revenue, and it's a tax based on the activities done in the territory. And frankly, some of these companies that are referred to don't make big profits and often don't have much in the way of activities here. But is there something about digital businesses that means we do need some changes to the current treatment? And the UK has done lots of work looking at this concept of user-created value. So is there something about what users do that's different? Now, feedback from customers has always been important. Market research has helped companies decide, you know, how to make changes to their products, what mix of products to sell. But the question posed is there something new, something greater than that, with users doing some more of the supply side functions that you would normally see businesses do in providing content, enhancing the brand in a different way? And is there something around intangibles? Again, intangibles are always very, very important. And the OECD has not so long ago issued some guidelines around hard-to-value intangibles, and it's due to revisit that in 2020. But is something more required around customer-related intangibles and giving taxing rights or greater taxing rights to the territories to which those customer-related intangibles relate? But I think what we see with that is whilst there are a number of territories that think some change is required, there actually isn't consensus on what the problem is. And it's very hard to have a solution if you can't agree on the problem. So what are the key options that are being considered? These aren't all of them, but I think these are the key ones. So, as I've already mentioned, the UK is looking at this concept of user-created value and saying, in the short term, should there be a revenue tax based on that user-created value, whilst longer term, there's an agreement to allocate taxing rights where there's user-created value. I think the fundamental question for me, though, is it the users that created that value, or was the value created by those that created the original the algorithm that underpins the platform which the users are using? And related to that is a timing point. Huge amounts of investment are ploughed in by these digital companies in a period often creating losses, and it's much later that we see the revenue and the profits generating from that. And so a tax system needs to take account both that upfront investment with those future profits, because otherwise it will inhibit investment. Now, the EU is also looking at this concept of user-created value, or that's kind of what they say they are. If you actually read the draft directive, it's pretty blunt, actually. It focuses just on advertising, intermediation, and sale of data. And because of its bluntness, you get some very odd results as to what is included and what is not included. Now, perhaps unsurprisingly, given its dominance in tech, the US is against anything that focuses on digital companies. But it is prepared to consider whether there needs to be some changes to the taxation of customer-related intangibles. So the OECD is focusing on three concepts, essentially: user-created value, this concept of customer-related intangibles, and whether we can come up with some other rules that provide some sort of minimum tax. Now, is this fairer? Are any of these fairer options? That was the question posed originally. So I would suggest it can't be fair if you have double or multiple tax on essentially the same thing. So you need international agreement and probably changes in treaties to do that. Any revenue-based measure also has serious flaws within it. It doesn't take account of loss-making companies. It doesn't take account of different profit margins. I've already mentioned the investment might have been in a different period to when the profits are, and the system needs to take all those into account. And it will lead to double taxation. So where are we going to go from here? Well, the OECD is working hard on this. They're due to produce an interim report in 2019 and a final report in 2020. That's too far away for many. And so the EU is looking at an interim digital service tax. So they've said they hope to reach agreement by the end of the year. That's challenging, not least, because for a directive, you need unanimity. But the pressure is being kept up by a number of countries saying they will implement unilateral measures if there isn't agreement. And we've seen Spain and Italy. We heard the Chancellor's comments on this yesterday. France is very keen. But it seems to me this multitude of unilateral measures is probably the worst possible option. It's inevitably going to lead to double taxation, reduced investment, and less competition, as the smaller, less profitable businesses can't compete and go out of business in that territory. And I think it's particularly important for the UK in a post-Brexit environment where we should be encouraging investment. And indeed, the government has said that it wants the UK to be the best place to start and grow a digital business. So I think this is really complicated. And before we've kind of jumped to change, I think we need to carefully look at the proposals and think, does it really achieve greater fairness and other tax objectives? Or actually, does it just shift the problem and create new issues for trade and investment? Because ultimately, I think this is about global agreement. It's got to be a global solution. Thank you.